Do you hear me?
Yes, good morning, Jim. Welcome. Thank you for your service.
Hi. So I'm here to talk about the ABC study group. It began in earnest, I'd say, about a year ago, give or take a week. And we really didn't get rolling until December, January of this past year. At the time, we were the ABC AWC study group, and we quickly realized that we could focus on that they were very separate entities, and we were just going to focus on the ABC part. It took us a while to figure out that what we really wanted to do was a charter. It kept kind of circling back to that. What began as just like, okay, how do we want to conduct the meetings? How often would they be? That type of a question into like, well, this is all wrapped up in a charter, and we should be creating a charter, and we weren't really asked to do a charter. So by that time, it was coordinating with last year's or this past annual business conference. So we asked the question, we paused and put the question to the delegates. And indeed, in May, we got the message to focus more on a charter as our goal. By that time, I started as a co-chair for the committee with someone named John R. And he had other obligations for the summer and stepped back. And eventually, it found it wasn't really working with his schedule. So by July or so, he had said that he was leaving. But in the interim, there were not that many active members. So the work sort of stalled. But happily, in September, we had more people joining us. And so for the last 2 months, we've made some headway. In particular, with a new chair who is here today, and I've been with the committee for a year, and I'm stepping back this month. So I don't know that we have an actual chair or co-chairs, but we do have Pam, who's done incredible minutes and agenda setting. So that's kind of where it leaves us. I would welcome Pam to add to this report if you're here and can speak.
Yeah, hi, I'm Pam. Well, we have been focusing on the charter and the work that has been done before I showed up has been impressive, and we have really dedicated people who are working on it. Brad H. has been drafting C documents, and we've Suvi is on the committee, and she reached out to other 12-step programs, and we had a person from Arts Anonymous that came in and talked about their process for their charter. So we have essentially Brad has done the background work. Brad H. has done the background work on pulling together the elements of a charter. And he reflected what was going on with ACA and the conference as it stands now. The history of ACA did not develop like other 12-step programs. Ergo, the WSO ended up showing up simply to become a focal point for the world back in the early 90s. And because of that, we suddenly had a WSO without having come up organically were meetings had representatives that went to the intergroups, and the intergroup representatives went to the regions, and the regions representatives went to the WSO and made up those boards. And so because we didn't develop that way, because there was just a little group of people that, you know, ended up fielding lots of focals, they were the focal point worldwide where therapists were contacting them and newspapers were contacting them, because in the early 90s, it was the heyday of inner children and, you know, ACA, adult children of alcoholics. And there were lots of papers being written and lots of therapists. And I went to conference after conference after conference that were wall-to-wall therapists, and, you know, talking about their various ideas about what happened with adult children. And a lot of people have read those books that they had published, and a lot of that information is part of ACA culture today. And so, you know, in drafting a conference, a charter for the conference, you know, we've been looking at other 12-step programs and saying, hey, what works for us? What doesn't work for us? And so we are in that discussion, and the discussion is not closed. Everybody that is on this call and everybody that's your friend in or out of program that wants to join us, you know, we need all the help we can get, because this determines a charter actually is the is how it works. How does ACA work? You know, what does the WSO do? What does the WSO have to do? You know, what can the conference do? Right now we have something like 5 board members on the WSO. And, you know, there at least, there are something like 41 committees. And so these people are really working hard, and they are, you know, three of those people are chairing 8 of those committees that we know of. And so WSO needs a lot of help. And, what a charter does is specify that the ABC as a body, a service body, not just as a convention once a year, but as a service body, you know, has a whole hierarchy of people, including, you know, steering committee and committees. And so the delegates should be taking on a lot of the responsibilities that these these poor overworked 5 people have been trying to do, you know, valiantly. And so, you know, that's what we're talking about right now is how do we take the load off them? How do we do what we're supposed to do and put on our big girl and big boy pants and start doing our part as delegates to further the outreach and the effectiveness of our program worldwide. Thank you.
Thank you, Pam. Thank you, Pam, and especially for the reminder too that we're there's also a study going on with the concepts which you'll hear, the delegates will hear about later, and we're sort of merging the two in that we were both at the Arts Anonymous expose. It was fascinating. Anyway. I suppose it's time for some questions, and maybe Pam and I can add some clarity. Will someone, let me see. I see hands. Shall I call
Yes.
Charlie? Charlie, I see your hand.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, I'm part of the other committee that Jim just mentioned about concepts two and six. The conference actually is a lot. We have many more people taking part than even a few years ago. And of course, now people are meeting four times a year, which is a bigger commitment. And I have to say the things that are being talked about here, a charter and the concepts are very, very important and sort of just setting the ground rules so it's clear how all these pieces fit together. The question I have is, so I encourage everybody to join and help. The question I have for Jim and Pam is, it sounds like you guys just need more support, more direct participation. What's the best, when do you meet and what's the best way for us to join and be of service to this?
Very good question. It's sort of a knee-jerk sort of thing. We need volunteers to help, but then we don't always have ready answers as to what they can do. You can just participate on the committee and be informed. That's a good way to start. And is inspired to get involved. You can write ABC at children.org because that is our parent committee. They have an address, and in the subject line, put ABC attention. So ABC at adultchildren.org, and before the day's out, we'll double check and put in the chat if that's the actual address and the s subject line ABC study. Ruby, hi, I see your hand.
Good morning, Ruby here. My question is around you stated that that we had very few people working on the board, and they were stretched really thin. And my understanding is that the committee is advocating taking some of those duties and transferring them to the delegates. My question is, have you considered in writing your charter expanding the number of the board members? One of the usually in other 12-step programs that I'm familiar with, board members range from as small as 9 and as large as 20. So I was wondering, is that on the table or is that out of bounds? Thank you.
Thank you for the question, Ruby. And actually, our chart of our operations and procedures manual and the bylaws, I believe the bylaws say that we have up to 20 people. It's a matter of finding 20 or even just more qualified people who are willing to become a board member. The willingness sort of dropped off about a year and a half ago. When the applications kind of dried up. So that's a bit of a challenge. I hope that answers your question.
Sort of. I was just wondering, well, since you brought it up, do you have any idea why the applications dropped off, or any investigation as to why the applications that were submitted were rejected?
It's a matter of applications not coming in, and the best person to talk to would be someone from the nominating committee, who would give you some help in determining, who would be a good applicant, and you can even refer someone to becoming an applicant for the board or yourself.
I'm going to interject here. Thank you for that second question, Ruby. Whoever is chairing any particular segment, one question at a time, if there are other people in line. Okay.
Thank you. And Regan, I see your hand, or is it Reagan?
Again, thanks for asking. Yeah, I just wanted to know, is there an online address that I can put in the chat of my meetings for people to put their name forward to volunteer at WSO level?
The process has been up until now that people get involved on a committee. They find something that they find interesting, and then, having been on the committee for a while, they sort of become like more of a leader. So, the Volunteer Resource Committee, there's a if you go to acawso.org, you'll find a form where you can sign up to become a volunteer. But the best thing would be to write to VRC at acawso.org. Myself and Laura monitor that email address, and we can help anyone who's interested in becoming a volunteer to find their proper course through the process.
Okay, that's great. Thanks. I wrote both of those down, and I'll just encourage people to go to the WSO site and look at all the different various committees that they could be part of
And again,
as well.
VRC at acawso.org would be the best way to get one-on-one
Indeed.
counseling. Thank you.
Thank you so much for that.
Kelly, hi, I see your hand.
Just wondering, would you not want to give out the Zoom information for the committee meeting?
Which committee meeting is that?
Well, the one you're doing your presentation on, the ABC Study Committee.
Yeah, I'm not in I can't search. I don't have it in front of me, and
Point of order,
the
people can
committee
go to the
calendar might have
committee.
that information.
Yes, committee calendar.
Yeah, this is Pam. Can you hear me?
Yeah, and that's at, yes, Pam.
Okay, I can get that
Pam?
information, Kelly.
I'm just thinking, put it in the chat with the other information, might be helpful. Thank you.
I see one last hand. I was also watching a clock that was ticking down. I want to stay on schedule, but if there's time,
Time is up.
region five. All right, thank you. I give back to Edmundus.
Thank you. Just wanted to announce to the conference that ABC's concept study group will have a breakout room at the end, so you are welcome to stay in and join in that breakout room for 20 minutes or more as you may see fit, and find out more like live today. So thank you, everyone. Next, thank you to Jim R. on those presentations. I will now give the floor to Claus, which will present the report about the concepts 2 and 6 study group, and then we will have a Q&A afterwards. So again, 15 minutes for that. Thank you. Cause, are you here? Could you please raise your hand? Thank you. Welcome. The floor is yours.
There we go. That's how you get it unmuted. Okay. Thank you all very much. The Concepts 2 and 6 study group, we're going to update its progress report just a bit. If you do have an opportunity to take a look at the report, it mentions that there were 5 draft versions of refining, clarifying concept two. And it turned out that we believe that they really improved over time from the top to the bottom. And so extremely recently, after this update was filed, we actually said we are going to provisionally accept the last bullet point. And I will read that. It's tentative, provisional, working draft for a new concept two is ACA groups delegate to the World Service Conference the authority to act as their effective voice and conscience, and to represent the fellowship in world service matters. So now, why did I stress the draft nature of this, despite us having spent a good number of weeks working pretty hard on refining it? That is because everything hangs together. There's a reason why we're doing concepts two and six together in the first place. And we have discovered that try as we might, there's no really good way to disentangle the bowl of spaghetti that is a set of concepts, and in fact, a good chunk of the founding documents for ACA. Everything tends to hang on another thing. And so we are aware of the fact that what we have decided on for concept two might change as we clarify further points in concept six. And for the very same reason we have discussed, potentially expanding into other areas, but we're not requesting that. We haven't really made a final decision, but the concept has come up. In addition, I think as was already mentioned in the ABC committee's report, we have discussed with them and agreed on the following way of approaching working together. Right now, we're going to continue our work. We have been tasked with getting things done. We're going to continue getting those done. And we're going to be in ever more constant contact with each other so that the left hand and the right hand know what's going on. And if something needs to change, we can catch it early and quickly. So the only other thing I want to mention briefly is that, yes, we have done tons of research on the other 12-step organizations, and we participated in that meeting with another 12-step organization that is called Arts Anonymous, who's recently done very similar work to what we're engaged in right now. And their insights and their experience was extremely enlightening. So with that, and not timing myself, I have no idea how long I took, I ask for any questions. And if there are any, if there's anything we can't get to, as was pointed out, it's not on the agenda, but we will have a joint ABC and concepts breakout room for folks to ask more detailed questions.
Thank you, Carlos. And now let's open up for questions. 10 minutes for that. cause, would you want to call yourself on the hand that you see?
I will, except I'm using an iPad, and so I don't have a view of everybody on the screen.
Okay.
So I'll ask for any assistance that anyone would like to provide.
Okay, so if you're okay, I will help you from a loving standpoint. I will call then from Kathy S. From Los Angeles. Web 50384. Thank you.
Hey, all. I'm Patty C. C as in cat. Thank you, Edmundus, for your service. Thank you, everyone, for your service. And thank you, Kaz, for your service. I'm Patty C, ACA, web 0384. And let's see, my question is, I'm wondering, are there, prior to the current versions that we have of Concept 2 and Concept 6, do we have archived anywhere past drafts of Concept 2 and Concept 6 that we can reference in terms of, I don't know, like has language that we might want to go back to been written in the past? I'm just wondering if we have an archive of drafts of the concepts that we can reference in moving forward.
I know we have an archive, but I can't say much about what is or in it with regard to earlier versions that might have been discussed, even if never adopted. So I will turn to anybody else who is a participant in the concept team, or frankly, anybody who has knowledge on the ABC team to help out with answering this question.
Thank you. I'm just wondering if we might, you know, not have to reinvent the wheel. Thank you.
Absolutely. And I do know a great deal, as I mentioned, a great deal of research was done with regard to other 12-step organizations. And we have had discussions about the history of ACA's founding documents development, but they haven't provided insight that I personally feel would help me in making a decision on how to go forward. Now, that could simply be my complete ignorance in the matter. I've been working on this issue just for this quarter, and it's superbly interesting, but I am certainly no expert in the past.
Thank you. Next, I call in Susan H., representative of TX0229. Welcome. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Sue. I'm an adult child, and I appreciate everybody's service here today, and I'm hoping, you know, to continue on with being a delegate for Texas. But I do have a question. I'm not quite sure where this would fit in. However, we've been talking about different committees today. And, you know, we can join this committee, we can join that committee. The committee that I have not found to be able to join is a committee that takes care of helping to relist groups that have been delisted. I've been trying for over 6 months now to help this happen and to find out where to get that information. Is that something that will be available in a breakout room today? Or is that something that we have to just keep putting off and not getting resolved?
Well, I certainly, this is Kaz here, I can't answer that question.
Yeah, sorry, that's not germane to the issue at hand. It's being handled, my understanding is it's being handled offline. So can we move on, please?
Can you tell me where that is, please?
Subi, can you respond to that?
Yes, yeah, sorry, I had to unmute myself. Thank you for the question. I'd suggest that you email secretary@acawso.org and we will put it in the chat. There is a separate process that we're working on that. And we're also, you'll hear in my board report, we're actually looking at all of our policy and procedures and looking at what's working, what needs to have changes. And at some point, we will come back to the delegates for approval, of course. So email secretary@acawso.org and let's see what we can do to help you. Bye for now. That's it for me for now, I should say.
That address is actually secretary@adultchildren.org.
Oh, okay, that's the one we're using. Can you post that for me, Brad? Thanks.
Let's go. Come back to the theme at hand from a loving standpoint. Thank you, everybody, for questions. Now I will call from Kelly J from TE 10341. Thank you.
Thank you. Could I first make a request to add an extra 2 minutes to this report? Thank you for the last question, but it definitely sidetracked us away from the concept 2 and 6 report, if that would be possible. And I was just going to respond on the concept 2 and 6 study group. So I was going to respond very briefly to the first question by, I think it was Kathy, regarding any draft and archives of the concepts as we currently have them. This is just the best of my understanding. I believe that the concepts were adopted at an ABC way back in the early 90s. They were changed slightly from the AA version, which is where, you know, was the seed version of how we got to the current ones. There was slight changes, but as far as I know, there isn't any archived information on the process that got us to where we are now. There's only information of when they were adopted, but not the. Thank you. That's it.
Next, I will call on Laura from CA1162. Welcome. Thank you.
Hi. Regarding the archives, the way that the traditions and the concepts, did you want a little bit of information on that? The way that they used to do it, this was in the traditions and the concepts when they were adopted, they used to mail them out inside of the comm line. And then groups would mail back their responses. And so that's how it was happened. And we did find a little bit of that in the archives, or we just found where it was adopted by the meetings. We did get the feedback from the meetings. That's just a little synopsis. Thanks. If that's clear, does anyone have any questions?
I apologize, but we don't have on the current queue, we don't have any additional time for questions. Okay. This is for the last question. If we have additional questions, let's join the breakout rooms and let's reach out to each other offline. And I will go to Charlie H next. Thank you, Charlie.
Yeah, I also wanted to speak to Patty C's question. Our internal documentation on this was very weak, but on the other hand, an advantage in the area of concepts is starting with AA, which did the first version, and Al-Anon, which did the second version. Almost every fellowship has some form of concepts. And so it becomes very clear, for instance, our concept 2 is the only one we could find that does not identify the conference as the seat of authority. So that's sort of an easy fix. The fact that we don't have as much documentation as would be ideal is not really as inhibiting in this area as it might be on other topics, because across the 12 steps, there's a lot of information.
Time is up.
Thank you. Delegates and respondees for your input. We gently move on to literature update section, which will be presented by Aaron Erin, if you're here, please raise your digital hand. And we welcome you to the floor to give us the update. Thank you for your service and welcome.
Okay. Hi, everyone. Just before I give the report, if we can also have Ralph raise his hand because there's maybe some questions that come up in the Q&A that Ralph would be better to answer than I am. So we can have that working behind the scenes. Okay, so the Literature Committee is chaired by Christine B., who is unable to give the report, and so I am giving it. I am chair of the Literature and Development Subcommittee. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about the different things that are in fellowship review, approved, and for those that might be new to understanding some of the process. So things that might come into literature may come by way of a ballot proposal, may come by way of things that have been in proposals that never made it, you know, or may just be submitted. So I'm going to talk about some of those things. They get submitted, they go through processes of literature and evaluation, they go through language review, they go out to fellowship review, then they come back to the literature committee, and often will then go to the board and then go to the conference for the final approval. And those things can take 2 to 3 years. So it's a long but thorough process. So first is A New Hope, which is a handbook, beginner's handbook, introductory. It's an introductory meeting format submitted to the literature committee by its writers. The literature committee has approved New for release in fellowship review. Board of Trustees has approved the document for fellowship review, and it is expected to be released for printing soon. Following fellowship review of 2 to 3 years, any subsequent changes, the document will be presented to the delegates at a future annual business conference for approval. The second one is the ACA Bill of Rights. That is a one-page document submitted to the Literature Committee by its authors. It was released for fellowship review in 2022. That review has now ended, and the Literature Evaluation Subcommittee is in the process of reviewing and adopting the comments that were received from fellowship review. After any requested subsequent changes, the document will be presented to the delegates at a future annual business meeting for conference approval. Meetings are free to use any version of a Bill of Rights that they adopt through their group conscience. The third article is Connections. Connections is a very lengthy document that resulted from a ballot proposal in 2017. It requested the clarification of the use of different words sponsor and fellow traveler in chapter 11 of that big red book, and as well as what's in the sponsorship trifold. So requesting the clarification on those. The writer group of Connections is responding to requests for revision from the Literature Committee in accordance with the process for conference approval of new literature. And the next step will be releasing it for fellowship review. It's a really nice document to kind of look at where would you like to fall in terms of using or not using sponsorship, or you know, how it works differently in our program than it might in another program. The fourth point, in response to repeated requests in ballot proposals to adopt the Tony A steps, by creating a working group to consider additional 12 steps that are more gentle and loving, the Literature and Development Subcommittee responded by developing potential alternative sets of 12 steps that could be used by meeting groups by group conscience. A survey to seek fellowship review on alternative steps, which could be used in addition to the existing 12 steps, is planned in order to gather information and fellowship input. It is not to decide a final set or sets of steps. All groups are free to use what works for them by group conscience. So it was created because you know, in the ballots, we were constantly hearing, let's have Tony A steps, let's have Tony A steps, but we are not legally allowed as a fellowship to promote that. So the kind and gentle, loving wording that's there is what we're looking at to have something that we can approve as a conference, as a fellowship. So more will be coming out about that to get as much input from our members in a survey. And lastly, at the next ABC in April 2024, Christine B. is stepping down after 3 years as our literature chair. Greg R. is also stepping down as chair of the Literature Evaluation Subcommittee. The Literature Committee welcomes volunteers who can grow into leadership positions. Please contact, and we'll put this in the chat, literature@acawso.org. Also, please note, on Saturday, December 16th at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time, the Literature Committee will hold an open house. There's a quarterly open house that's held. And this one will be focused on new volunteers. If you have not filled out the volunteer interest form, you can find that. We'll put that in the chat as well. I am also stepping down from Literature in Development Subcommittee. So as you can see, there's a lot of there's a lot needed to continue to grow our literature committees and subcommittees. And with that, Ralph and I will take questions.
Thank you. Waiting for raise of hands. This is perhaps Pam and then Kelly J. I will let Aaron and Ralph coordinate the Q&A. Pass.
I think we're waiting to unmute. Pam?
Yeah, hi, I was muted by the host and unmuted by the host. Did I understand you correctly that things are being published before they've been delegate approved by the ABC?
No, I'm not sure where you heard that. No.
Maybe I can clarify that a little bit. So the process for approval by the ABC, one of the sticking points is people actually need to see it. And the other thing is that literature is developed, and we have reader teams that review it and we do our best. But the process as currently defined is that something gets published in fellowship review mode after it's been through the literature committee review process, after the board has weighed in. And then there's a 1 to 3 year time period called fellowship review, where the book is now either published in print or in electronic form or otherwise made available, for example, as a download. And people can look at it, have experience with it, work with it, provide feedback as to what works, what doesn't work, what they would like to see changed. Then all that feedback is at the end of the fellowship review period is looked at. Revisions, if any, are made working with the writer team. And then it would go to the board for approval, and then it would finally come to the delegates for approval. That's the currently defined process.
But you're actually selling these books?
Yes. So Loving Parent Guidebook is an example of that. That is in fellowship review mode. It's being physically printed. It's being sold. But people have a three-year period through September of 2024 to comment on it. And then it potentially could go through some revisions, and then it will come back to the delegates for final approval.
Thank you.
Should I be calling on people?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Cause?
Waiting to unmute the cause as a person.
I don't think he can unmute.
So we go to Kelly and then come back to cause?
Thank you. Question, well, Christine, or maybe you could answer, Aaron, the APB document. I'm pretty sure we had gone through the whole process. And I'm wondering where that stands.
Yeah. Ralph is probably going to be better at that one than me, too. I know that was submitted to the board. We had a slight change in it. Ralph, can you take it from there? Or Sue?
What is the APB document?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. I figured that would be addressing predatory behavior.
It's the 10th card. Yeah. Do you want to have Sue answer that? Because I think it's at that spot.
Yeah, Sue has her hand up.
Thank you. The safety tent card has been approved by the board, and Christine has put it in for the 2024 ABC for conference final approval.
Thank you. But should that not be in the report, the written report? Thank you. Just wondering.
Thanks, Kelly. It's something to be noted. I'm not sure if it was in a previous report or not. Okay, Aaron, over back to you.
Let's see if we can have cause speak.
Seems to be working now, if everybody can hear me.
Yes,
in any event, did I hear you correctly that basically retirements, resignations, moving on is going to hollow out the current group of folks? That it sounded that way to me, but I wanted to clarify how desperate is the situation.
So Christine is finishing a 3-year rotation, and that at this point in time is kind of like what the OPPM, you know, is strongly suggesting. I'm moving on to some. I came into literature and some, what is it called? literature and development, because the previous chair had to suddenly leave. And so I agreed to take it for a year so we could transition. I'm kind of hoping that we have members there that might be able to continue in there. But yeah, and Greg is stepping down in evaluation. I mean, it really does need to have support and help. Ralph, do you want to say any more about that?
Well, the answer to the question is yes. It's being hollowed out.
So, and Christine is here now. I don't know how much time we have left, but if we can unmute Christine as well, since she is the chair and would probably be best to answer these. Then we have Joseph C.
Hi, everybody. I'm Christine. I'm traveling, so, you know, grateful to be able to be with you for this short period. I want to say that our normal structure, of course, is to have a chair and a vice chair. And so theoretically, the vice chair would step into the chair's role. We are grateful that Ralph is the vice chair of literature in evaluation. So hopefully, when Greg steps down, Ralph will be willing to step up. We have been unsuccessful in recruiting a vice chair for my role, the chair of the literature committee. It's a huge committee. It requires obviously a knowledge of our literature in general, and also a strong recovery program, because we need to keep our recovery first and our service second. And so although we have wonderful newcomers who are highly enthusiastic about volunteering, we're looking for smaller jobs for them to do so that they can grow into leadership. Because as you all know, as delegates, it takes an extraordinary amount of commitment and time to be able to serve in these roles. So if anyone is interested and you think this would be a good fit for you, you can email me at litchair@acawso.org. happy to talk with anyone who would like to get involved in literature. Thanks.
And the open house on December 16th.
Correct. Come on down.
Yeah. Okay, then we have Joseph C.
Yes, hi. Joseph C., Connecticut CTO 87. Speaking of the small jobs that are available, can you just give a very brief shout out to the tremendous number of translators, translations work, and other kinds of small things that are being done by your committee? When I attend the Content Development Committee, I was impressed by how much other work is going on. What we've heard about today is just the top of the iceberg. Thanks, let me share.
Yeah, thank you very much for that, Joseph. And Josh W.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. This is sort of like a process question. I know in some other fellowships there that in literature development, work doesn't actually start until the idea of a piece of literature is approved. So it's like, you know, maybe there's some sort of proposal, maybe that comes in through a ballot proposal in our case, or maybe it comes in through a motion from the committee, but sort of like, hey, how about we develop piece XYZ? And then the idea gets approved by the conference. And then it's almost like the committee has now been authorized to go actually develop the thing. I'm not sure we have that today. And I think there's this thing about the Tony A steps. It's kind of an interesting. I think there's an interesting example of that where I'm not sure what was proposed in the initial ballot proposal is what seems to be moving forward. I'm not sure what's moving forward has been conference approved, but that's a process question.
Yep, Christine.
So, good question, Josh. So, actually, a literature can be developed in one of four ways currently under our OPPM, which is our policy manual. And one of the ways it can be generated is within the literature committee itself. So, to your point about the 12 steps, the literature committee has heard the fellowship. We've heard you. The delegates want steps that are gentle and loving. And so we're working on a project generated by the literature committee to respond to what we've heard coming from our delegates, this feeling that we're being stymied because we cannot publish copyrighted steps. So right now, under the OPPM, literature can be developed by, it can come in as a board proposal. It can come in generated by the literature committee. It can come in from any group that wishes to present a piece of literature for us to review. And of course, it can come in through a ballot proposal. These are four different ways that literature can be generated. We welcome a conversation with the delegates about changing our process to have the delegates involved earlier. And so that would require a change to our policy manual. So right now, what we are doing is authorized by our policy manual. If the delegates want to make a change, we are open to having that conversation. And of course, it's not just the literature committee, it's the fellowship at large and the way our policy manual works. So nothing's cast in stone, and we welcome that conversation. So thanks, Josh.
Hey, I didn't know if the time was for this whole segment or just for one. Are we still good to go?
We still have
the segment.
I'm sorry?
Timer is for the entire session. We have 10 minutes to go.
We have 10 more minutes. Okay. Okay. All right. Any more questions? Okay. Not seeing. Okay. There we go. Peg M.
Yes. Christine, I was on the last literature session that you had. And I'm still hearing it. I'm from the Monterey Bay Intergroup. Groups are so upset. They're like, oh my God, is everything going to be monitored that we're using? So what can I tell them?
Christine, you have to unmute. Is she able to unmute?
Can she raise her hand, please?
Sorry for the techno thing. Okay, so we did have two meetings, actually, one for the time zones that are in the US and Europe, and one for the time zones that are in the more in the Far East. And the topic was the language of the open literature policy. It was not about getting rid of the open literature policy. Unfortunately, misinformation was sent out widely. It created a lot of upset and concern amongst you, and we are deeply sorry for that. That information did not come from us. We are not abandoning the open literature policy. We never were. What we were doing is inviting a conversation about what ACA recovery means in our open literature policy. Does it mean simply carrying the message of the steps, or does it mean something more broad? Because recovery means many things to our fellowship. That was the purpose of the meeting. And somebody came up with a brilliant idea, which is to take the existing open the literature policy trifold and rename it the open literature policy trifold, which frees us up to do what we were initially intending to do, which is to guide the literature committee with policies that will come to you, that will guide us as to how we review literature. For example, we support loving and kind literature. We support spiritually inclusive literature. We support literature that is available around the world in a cost-effective way. These are policies that I believe reflect what you as the delegates would like to see, and it will come to you. It will not be adopted without your input and consideration. So thanks for your question.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay, Marty.
I just want to, I'm Marty. I just want to say that I've been aware of the PERT chart for literature since 2011 when I was working with Robin. And there is a system set up, and I just really would encourage someone who has talent with organizational skills and love of literature. They really, really, really need help, because when Christine, bless her heart, she's done a terrific job. Don't be afraid to volunteer if you have that skill set. That's all I have.
Thank you, Marty. Christine, did you want to mention anything about the kind of new positions that we're hoping to fill?
Yes, so briefly, as I mentioned, I think it's incredibly important to have smaller positions, not only because it helps people who are relatively new get involved with literature, but because many of us in service are spending many hours a week. And we know that you as delegates don't have those hours. And so how can we create smaller jobs where people can actually work successfully? Example, communications manager. We're not doing as good a job as we could on communications. Someone who can help us with our record keeping, and fortunately, someone has stepped up and is familiar with our Google Drive and willing to do that job, which we're very grateful for. We've been asked to create a glossary of ACA terms and definitions. That's a job that someone can actually start for us. They're not going to write the definitions, but they can help us with the organization of that project. So when you come on December 16th, we're going to show you some of these projects. We hope to match up your skills and talents with some of these projects and make them manageable, because if they're not manageable, you won't be able to do them, and it'll lead to frustration, and that's not what we want, right? We want people serving with joyful hearts. Thank you.
Thank you. And Bradford H.
I have a question about the open literature policy. It's my understanding that autonomous groups can use outside literature as they choose. Suppose an ACA group chooses a book by a therapist and decides to use that in their meeting, and they use only that book in their meeting. Are they still an ACA group?
So are you saying that they don't read the problem, the solution, the steps, any of that?
Yeah, they use outside literature.
Okay. Yeah, I mean,
the big, excuse me, Aaron, go ahead and answer.
No, go ahead.
Well, the Big Red Book says that to call yourself an ACA meeting, you have to use the readings. And I think that's a suggestion, not a rule. But there is a larger issue of how we combine outside literature with ACA recovery, right? And so right now, the open literature policy says if you're becoming a therapy group, that is not an open literature, that would not qualify as open literature. We need to continue the conversation. Recovery has definitely changed since that policy was first written, and we understand that. But I want to emphasize that the literature committee is not, the issue of what is and isn't an ACA meeting is not within the purview of the literature committee. That's not what we do, right? We don't qualify meetings, and every meeting is autonomous. And if there are issues with meetings, those have to go to a higher level than the poor old literature committee that's just trying to write literature and be as clear as we can and get your input. So what is and isn't an ACA meeting is actually not something that the literature committee would weigh in on.
Is that the purview of the conference?
Good question. I think it's always the purview of the conference. Always. Yes, always.
Thank you for that question. And Vivian C.
Can you hear me? I'm just looking for more specific information on the literature open house, where, when, how often, and where can I get that information? Thanks.
We could put that in the chat.
Yeah. If you go on our website, it is the meeting, the regular monthly meeting of the literature committee for December. So if you look under the committee calendar for December 16th, you will see the Zoom information right there. But we'll also get it to you in chat.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. And we have 2 minutes left. I'm going to go to Ruby, since she has not yet asked a question in literature. If that's okay, Josh. Ruby?
Thank you, Erin. Thank you for your service. My question is around is for Christine, when she said about offering a small task for volunteers. And the example was given about like a glossary. A small task would be that the person would not have actual input in creating the glossary, but more around organizing the glossary. Maybe it's just me, but that sounds like drone work. And I don't imagine many volunteers would be happy with such a limited task, given that all of our 12-step programs are founded on the principle of two drunks who had a good idea. They weren't qualified to do anything. So I don't understand how people can learn and grow if they're treated as drones. I hope, like mechanical people. Okay. Maybe it's a comment.
Thanks, Ruby. I recommend that you come and hear what we have to say on December 16th. Hopefully, we don't have any drone work, or correspondingly, we're all doing drone work. It all depends on how you look at it. Thanks.
Okay, we have 24 seconds left, Alyssa.
Hi, everyone. I'm a fellow traveler from Russia. I'm trying to be very short, I guess, quick. Could I ask maybe a silly question? So I'm working only on trifles and little pieces of literature, or I'm just looking for maybe some information about working on yellow workbook, or maybe on concepts, just to make it easier to study them. So I don't know if it's a question for you, but maybe you can coordinate me. Thank you.
I think that's another one. Please come to December 16th. And yeah, because we do need the yellow workbook. We need more questions in there. We've been trying to reach out to, we understand Russia has some of those that they'd like to do. And we've been trying to follow up on that, but so far not any good results. So maybe on the 16th, we can move even further forward. Okay. All right. Well, thank you for our literature committee and our questions.
Thank you for keeping us on time. We are over just by 40 seconds. This is wonderful for ACAs. We have a little break of 10 minutes. If Adelina will say now, is that a peaceful break or we have a fun activity and then we come back at 10:42, I would say. Adelina, the floor is yours. Thank you.
Welcome back, everybody. We're at the end of our break, and I'm Marcus, and I'll be your co-chair for the second half of this QDM. And it'll be about an hour and 40 minutes until we go to our committee interest breakout rooms at the end. Our next section, it's about 30 minutes long, is Sue V, our World Service Board of Trustees chair, will give us a board updates report with questions and answers at the end. So Sue, take it away.
Thank you so much, Marcus. And hello, bonjour, ciao, hola, hala, konnichiwa, namaste, privyat. Hello in all of our different languages. I am Sue V, grateful and hopeful adult child from Toronto, Canada. I am also a former delegate of my meeting group and my intergroup, and I am currently, as Marcus said, the chair of the Board of Trustees, and I consider a humble trusted servant of the fellowship. Our board update is in the agenda with a link, so you'll be able to read that if you haven't already. I'm going to go through some highlights, and I'm going to ask Aaron in a few minutes and Bill Dalton, our general manager, to talk about our World Service Organization. We've been talking about, you know, what is WSO? And for a lot of the newcomer delegates, it can be confusing. And so we have a World Services Fellowship. That's all of our groups. We have a World Service Conference. And right now that's our QDMs, our quarterlies, and our ABCs. And then we have this thing called World Services Organization. And it is comprised of Board of Trustees. Yes, there are five right now. We have a capacity of 20. And we have 18 committees that we're overseeing on behalf of the fellowship. And we also have staff, and I think we're about 8 or 9, and Bill Dalton is our general manager. And so there's a lot to be done. I'm hearing a lot of conversations around more volunteers, more resources, more Board of Trustees. Yes to all of that. But I'd also like to remind all of us is that we're a 45-year-old fellowship, and hip, hip, hooray for our fellowship for 45 years, because, oh my goodness, it has literally changed my life. And I hear changing all sorts of our adult children's lives, and more to come with that. And so I think we've done well. You know, we've got about 3,000 meetings around the world. We have 5 publications, over 14 different languages. And I'm hearing in the next few years, maybe we'll be up to 30 translated languages. We have an incredible amount of volume of requests coming in on all sorts of matters, from fellowship to public services to you name it. And of course, the conference that we've been talking about, you're going to hear a lot more about the future of a conference with concepts, with charter, etc.
But I'd like to remind all of us that it took us 45 years to get here. I don't think it'll take us another 45 years to grow more, but it will take time and baby steps. And I'd like to give you a couple of highlights right now. And health and safety has been a theme for World Service for over a year now. And I know it's near and dear to the heart of the groups that I attend and our intergroups. And I'm pleased to announce that our online user agreement with Slack had success. We have increased our active users from 150 to 198. We have an 80% sign-up rate, and volunteers are starting to express they're feeling more safe. Our Slack communications are now focused on the committee work, and we're seeing that happen. The second part I'd like to announce is hot off the presses. The service norms document that we've all been waiting for a long time has been approved by the board. So you'll hear more about that, and it'll be accessible shortly to everyone. Another highlight in October is our first board strategic retreat in person since 2020. We haven't had an in-person one since 2020. And we were gifted in 2023 because we had a deposit sitting in a hotel from 2020, $22,675 to be exact. And the hotel came and said in mere hours, use it or lose it. So we had the potential of just losing the money and treating it as a loss this year, or figuring out how can we leverage that for our fellowship. I'm pleased to say that with the help of the committees, with the help of the trustees, the staff, and the Florida East Intergroup, which was the original host for 2020 ABC-AWC, we pulled it off. And the potential gift for the fellowship, I'm seeing a stronger and more connected board members because we're all very new. And I'm seeing the effects of that in our board meetings and the effectiveness. I'm seeing that the trustees, including myself, included increased training and communication and working together, and diversity and inclusion. And the trustees and staff came away with 35 action items. Now, that sounds a lot, but we're working in small teams. We're prioritizing. So not everything that gets done in World Service is on the shoulders of five trustees. It's really all of us together in World Service working as a team on behalf of our fellowship. One example of something that we're looking at, areas we were looking at, is seventh tradition support, finance, international support, long-term planning processes. How do we engage and get feedback input from our delegates and fellowship? One example on fellowship was we discovered that we have over 6,600 voicemails and emails coming into our office staff. That's a lot over the year. And we also have tremendous emails going to all the different committees and the trustees. And we're going to look at centralizing to see, can we see what's going on there? Is there something proactively we can look at to serve our fellowship and our meeting groups better? And so stay tuned for that. And I'm going to turn it over in the next few minutes to Aaron. And we tried something for the very first time this year because we could try and leverage things. We were looking on how can we provide more support to these committees and the volunteers and the chairs. And we talked about having a committee summit, basically a chair meeting, to see what supports do they need, what additional training do they need. And Aaron's going to talk to you about the success on that. Aaron, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Hey, there we go. All right. Yes. So it was the first committee summit, and very successful, very motivating. So I'm going to give you a couple points that happened here. For the first time, our chairs came together implementing concepts 9, 10, and 11. The chairs worked for 2.5 days to problem solve challenges and build on successes. Coming together in this manner, chairs discussed, role played, and provided support and solutions for our committee's present and future functioning and safety. Discussion on diversity and allyship was facilitated by a member experienced in diversity, equity, and inclusion work. Informative and educational as it was, our chairs were invited to fill out a survey looking at bias, the impact of bias on service, and possible solutions. The trustees and staff participated in a joint session. Chairs also problem solved and discussed needs around safety, preparing future volunteers for committee work, managing expectations around authority, the ultimate authority of the group conscience, managing expectations and attrition, time management, managing chair responsibilities, service rotation, empowering and mentoring of volunteers, and facilitating healthy and challenging committee meetings. Our chairs came away energized and motivated with a support network of unity and increased clarity. While it was a very full work weekend, our inner children came out to play during breaks with games donated by a fellow traveler, who, by the way, is still pushing for a play and have fun committee. Moving the most Skittles candies by sucking through a straw, single-handedly straining Cheerios onto a pipe cleaner bracelet, and moving a cookie from the forehead to the mouth with only facial muscles were among the challenging adventures. Winners will remain anonymous. I'd like to express gratitude to the dedicated volunteers who gave time away from their families and other work and life commitments. Their passion for our program was very much evident, and we are rewarded with their sense of renewed commitment and unity in bringing this work back into their committees. Thank you.
Thank you, Erin. And as a result, we've been having a lot of discussions for 2024 of looking at possibly a service academy that would be educational resources for our volunteers to help support them in their service work. So more will be revealed in 2024 as we take a look at that. And I thank Erin, Charlie, and Mary Jo, who were our facilitators for the committee summit and our committee chairs. Over to Bill. Bill is going to talk a little bit about the regional support for the regional committee and Florida East Intergroup, and give you a peek. Some of you have not seen our WSO operations and warehouse, and I think it would be very helpful. Bill?
Let me get unmuted here. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, as the case may be. Thank you, Sue. My name is Bill D, and I'm an adult child, a grateful recovering adult child. And I would like to give you a brief office update at the request of the board. So the World Service Office is located in Signal Hill, California. And as you well know, we just moved recently, and the move was a big move. Why did we move? Why did we need a bigger office? The first reason we needed more office space is we've increased our from three offices in two separate buildings to seven offices in one building, with the capacity to build out at least two more over the next 5 years as the organization continues to grow. Reason number two, due to larger and more frequent print runs to meet the fellowship and public demand for books, we were exceeding the storage space that we had currently. We went from 5,200 square feet to almost 7,200 square feet at a slightly lower rent, believe it or not. That's one of the main reasons we moved, is the rent was going up 40% in our existing location. What was accomplished? We eliminated multiple utility accounts, saving several thousand dollars a year. We improved efficiencies by having all on-site staff and volunteers in one office space. We reduced insurance and security alarm costs. And let me move this window out of my way so I can read. And risk from three separate buildings to down to one building. We have created a professional World Service Office that can be utilized by the WSO board and others for in-person meetings. Your new World Service Office is located at 1901 East 29th Street in Signal Hill, California. It didn't move but about seven blocks from the existing office. We have signage out front that allows the people on these busy streets to know what this office is, what organization it serves, and a website URL to find our organization. So it's not only facing one street, it's facing two streets. We're on the corner. We currently have five on-site staff. We have one more that's on maternity leave, had been on extended maternity leave, and is not looking like she may be coming back. Myself, behind the sign is your pick, pack, and ship worker, special worker, Jose. David Kang. On the left is our e-commerce person and inventory specialist. Sylvia, on the left, on the seated on the ground, is your finance controller. You may remember she replaced Lucia, who retired after 3 years of service. And then in front of beside Sylvia is Carrie, the receptionist, the person that is the front face to the public and to the membership whenever they send emails or call the office. Our warehouse is now state of the art. We have book pallet racks that are arranged in a configuration to maximize the increased office space. These are all books here that have been brought in by container from overseas. We need to print in large quantities because we're selling a lot of books. This is another view of the warehouse. This is the packing and shipping area where Jose does most of his work and gets help from the other staff cross-checking orders. But this is where every order, and there's over 1,200 of them a month that go out of this building. And the orders may be one book, or they may be two cases or three cases or four cases of books per order, depending on whether it's an intergroup or a single person that's requesting a book. This is our volunteer workroom. Pardon me. We've got inventory in there of booklets and pamphlets and trifolds and flats and chips and things like that that we have volunteers assemble into pre-made packages or assemblies, as they're called. Volunteers come in regularly. We have some that are committed to every day of the same day each week. And these are back on the back row back there on the shelf are some archives that are being cataloged by a volunteer as well. They're going through each box of archives and carefully pulling out documents and sorting them so that we can eventually get an online archive system that it will be available to the membership. Thank you for helping us carry the ACA message. Please get in touch with us to volunteer or visit. You can contact us via email at info@acawso.org or call the office at 562-595-7831. And again, we're located at 1901 East 29th Street, Signal Hill, California. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill. And if you could post that in the chat, the email, and that would be really helpful.
Sure.
Okay. So I would like to just say thank you to all of the trustees, all of the committees, chairs, and all of the members that are there helping and supporting our fellowship and our staff, the general manager and the staff at Signal Hill and our remote staff that are in various different places. So thank you all for a great work. Progress, not perfection, baby steps. We've got a lot to do, but we've got time. And with your help, we'll make it happen. So I'm going to open it up for questions and comments and raise your hands. Okay. I see our first hand is Josh.
Hi. Yeah. Thanks for the presentation. I heard mention of something. I think I heard mention of something during the strategic retreat chair summit thing that has been a issue on my mind. It sounds like there may have been some discussion, so I'd just love to sort of maybe highlight it and ask for any kind of more information, which is the issue of, you know, group conscience and authority and how that works within the bounds of WSO. I like to think of it as does tradition 2 apply within WSO? And I've actually heard different people have some different opinions on that, which I thought was significant. And so I guess I just wanted to highlight that and hear if there was any sort of discussion and see what you think about sort of moving that kind of conversation forward.
Okay, I understand the question, and I'm gonna turn it to Erin for a moment because she was in the committee summit and could explain, but I would say to you, tradition,
we operate with traditions and concepts in all of our committees. But just remember, when you're going into an existing committee, you're also going into an accumulation of group consciences over the months and years that committee has been operating with. But specifically, Aaron, would you like to comment on anything that was touched upon in the committee summit?
I guess I could say that tradition too, but you know, that's basically our committees, you know, how we do that, you know, what's the role of the chair, you know, that, you know, the chair isn't there to make the decisions, but how to facilitate the group making those decisions. We did role plays. You know, we talked about what happens when it becomes challenging. And we, you know, we looked at the resources that we have today to monitor those things.
Thank you, Aaron. We'll move on then to the next question. And I thought I saw Kate.
Hi, thank you. And thank you for the presentation. I just wanted to say that I found it highly offensive that the picture or the sign was the two white men standing there and the women sitting on the ground. Mm-hmm. It's very poor optics. It was undoubtedly unintentional, but I think that men and women should be on equal footing rather than the women on the ground below the men. Thank you.
And your comment has been noted and appreciated. Robert.
Yeah, so I just wanted to say, I mean, this event, I think it took place in Boca as part of and the regional event that also took place. So I think I heard from somebody said it was really good to get the committee members and the board members together in person. I think the feedback I got from the people that went to the event were just like, there's a demand for this. I think there were 300 people registered. A lot of people wanted to go and it was full. So, you know, I think the whole idea of if you do future meetings like this, I'm happy. I don't care if it's in Florida or in Canada or somewhere else. It'd be great to continue on, you know, get those regional events to happen and bring people together. Just because we're not, I love the fact that we're doing the virtual events, absolutely great. The ABCs and things like that saves a lot of travel, gets more participants, but there's still that need for in-person stuff. So thank you for all the people that did the work, and it was so great to meet all the people. So thank you.
Thank you, Robert. And thank you for that. We did see, we did hear from a number of folks that the region event was so helpful, and there's a hunger for it. And we'll have to look at that for budgeting purposes and process purposes. But yeah, we got that message, and it was great meeting them in the evenings when we weren't working and at meal times. And so thank you for that. Alaska's next on the hands that I see.
Thank you. What is doing that? Hi, my name is Alaska. I'm adult children. So I heard, and I also read in the report that, that there was a member, who had experience with, diversity, equity, and inclusion, and that they led a session, gave a survey. I don't remember if it was a survey or something. I'm just curious about that. I'm curious about what you found as far as if there was bias in the you know, in the group and the outcome of it, and maybe, you know, I don't know the qualification of the person that was leading the session as well. Thank you.
All righty. So diversity and inclusion, we're very committed to, and this is the starting point of it. Aaron, did you want to comment on the actual event in the committee summit? I personally, and I know the trustees, found it very, very helpful. And we look forward to a continued conversation and continued training in this area.
Yeah, we did have, it was from the a subcommittee on diversity within our fellowship, one of the intergroups. I don't know how comfortable the person is about saying their name. We never asked that question. I don't see why not, but that's not my choice, I don't think. So we were given the surveys ahead of time, and some of us had trouble filling them out, but it was up to each of us if we wanted to talk about that survey. It was personal for our own reflection within our committees. So, yeah.
Thanks, Aaron. And we're going to move on to the next question, and that is Kelly J.
Thank you, Sue. Does the board see using the quarterly delegate meetings as some kind of a replacement for the monthly TCs? I mean, the monthly TCs are in the OPPM, but this year they've been dialed back to, I think, 4 total of the teleconferences. So is the board using the quarterly delegate meetings for that purpose? Because when I look at the breakout rooms, it's not just the committees that reported, it's the committees that would be reporting at the teleconference. So I feel like you guys have sort of moved what you do at the TC into these quarterlies. Is that sort of the idea? Or could you just speak to that for a minute? Thank you.
Thanks, Kelly. No, we haven't made those decisions. Right now, we've done this year quarterly teleconferences. We're looking at it. And we want to listen to the delegates and in the quarterlies. And this is a great opportunity for us to talk here as well. So we are looking into it all. And if anyone has any feedback for that, we would appreciate it. And we have a December 9th teleconference that is posted in the report. And we're inviting all delegates to come out. We've also posted a WSO resource key documents page on the conference page, so you can take a look at those things. So we're in evolution. That I think that's the short answer. And Joseph, next.
Yeah. Hi, Joseph Seitz, from CTO 87. Two questions regarding this committee summit. One, will there be a sharing of the topics and discussions of that summit? And will the service academy that was mentioned be a similar opportunity for committee chairs to learn and discuss concerns? And will it be in person only, or will there be a virtual format?
Lots of questions there, Joseph. So, Aaron, I'll take the first couple, and then I'll pass over the committee summit to yourself. But I would say the Service Academy is something we're thinking about developing, and it would be an educational resource. It could be just going in online to access. It could be some educational live sessions virtually. We can look at in person, but we have to look at all of it with budget. So we don't have a final answer on that. So it'll really be depending on what can we do fiscally responsible? And Aaron, did you want to add anything to the meeting?
Yeah, so as I mentioned when I kind of reported on the different topics and things that came up during there, how does that go back to the fellowship? So the resources and things that have been developed, are being developed, the board norms and things like that, as we worked on them, role played, and did things within those 2.5 days, the whole idea is that these are these tools to empower our chairs so that the chairs take this, what they learned, back into their committees and work with their committees to educate them, to take group consciences on how they'd like to work with it. It comes back into the committees in that form, that the work will continue within the committees.
Thanks, Aaron. And I need to move on because I want to make sure we can get at least one or two more with our time. So next up is Stefan. Oh, hopefully I'm pronouncing it right, Stefan.
Hi, thank you. And thank you, everybody, for doing all the great work that you're doing. I had the absolute pleasure of going and and putting t-shirts on 100 bears at the office yesterday. And it was wonderful. And I got a tour of the new location, and it's just fabulous. It's really, 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 really great. And so I want to applaud Bill D and all the work that the staff has done. And just really looking forward to having meetings there and utilizing the space, because it is just really a great space. And lastly, I want to comment on the placement of the bodies in the picture, which was everyone's choice. There was no assigned seating, and everyone, the purpose was to show the staff in front of the sign, in front of the building. There was no other agenda attached. And thank you all for your service and allowing those of us who are have limited capacity to serve and what we do, and not guilting us for serving more. Thank you.
Thank you, Stefan. And yes, it, you know, everyone has personal choices and pictures and stuff. And also everyone has choice in their perspectives or perceptions of things. And we listen to everything. But thank you for your comment. And Linda G.
Hi, I am new to, I've been in ACA for 4.5 years, and I was asked to spearhead our group to include 5 groups to become an IG, which I've done. We are now an IG, we're new, and I'm learning a lot of stuff. I'm going to also be the alternate literature person. And so I had questions probably for Bill, but in ordering at the intergroup level, can you order from one book to a case of books? I know you said that for the group, you could order from one book to the case of books. Is there a requirement at the intergroup level to have a certain amount of books? I know it needs to be over $100. Is that the only requirement?
Thanks, Linda. Bill, do you want to have a short answer to that? And you can also put your email in the chat for Linda, if you can't fully answer. Thank you.
Yes, Linda, intergroups can order any combination of books, medallions, trifolds, booklets, as long as it totals $100. There's no requirement on the number of books.
Okay, great. And my understanding is we can have more than one shipping address. We will have like 5 shipping addresses. Is that good?
Yes, it is. We can.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. The other thing I'm trying to do,
that's time on the segment.
That's time on the segment. Thank you, Linda. If you need to contact Bill directly, his email will be in the chat. And I'm sorry, Gabriel, we're not able to take your question. But again, I will put the secretary's email. By the way, we do have 2 emails, the ACAWSO email as well as the adultchildren.org email. So I'll put those in and you can follow up with us after. Thank you. With that, I yield our time back to the chairs.
Oh, thank you, Sue, and all the delegates who participated in that section. Our next section of 15 minutes is a report from the Racial Trauma Service Group. This group came out of a floor proposal passed at the 2023 ABC and an implementation plan passed at the August 5th QDM. And Willie and Alaska will give the report. I think Willie's going to give the report and Alaska will help with the questions and answers. And Willie, I think if you can raise your hand, they'll unmute you or make you co-host, whatever. There's Willie. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Willie.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much, Marcus. Willie, Lineage of Surviving Colonization, Adult Child. Thank you all for the work so far. As Marcus said, this came out of the floor motion in August, and the primary objective of the Racial Trauma Service Group is to provide guidance for acknowledging and recognizing the impact of systemic racism on family dysfunction and the adult-child experience. Within ACA literature, policies, communications affecting the broader fellowship. So I'm just going to be reading from the report that Alaska submitted on behalf of the group. So our initial implementation plan presented at the last QDM. Had 4 points. One, to further deepen the ACA program framework by developing a resource guide that outlines a significant role that systemic racism plays in shaping family dysfunction and the ACA problem, as well as how it therefore informs the ACA solution and recovery. Two, to collaborate with the literature committee to identify how to acknowledge and outline the impact of systemic racism in ACA literature, as well as further the development of the ACA framework, specifically around the relevance of systemic racism on the family system, family dysfunction, and the adult-child experience. Three, to identify opportunities in ACA literature to incorporate personal shares from ACAs, focusing on experiences of racial trauma and systemic racism, and to act as an intermediary by calling out for and collecting member shares as required. And four, to advise the ACA WSO board on current and future ACA projects and policies to ensure that racial bias and or systemic oppression are being appropriately considered and addressed. So since then, you know, report of the work that the group has done since then, you know, have established the group as the Racial Trauma Service Group. To highlight our group's primary purpose of acknowledging the effects of racism and intergenerational racial trauma on children in ACA literature, and to differentiate this service group from a committee and or quote-unquote BIPOC group. You know, the idea being racialization, you know, affects everyone. The oppression, dominance, affects everyone, no matter what side of a split and oppression that we're on, a distortion of power. We developed meeting agenda, communication, and working structure, scheduled weekly meetings, held officer elections for Chair Alaska. I'm the vice chair, our secretary, Chantel. We met with the literature chair, identified current and upcoming projects and how we might get involved. And connected to WSO resources, we established an email, racialtrauma@acawso.org, and a private Slack channel. And all this is the report that's submitted is a link for it is in the agenda, I believe. Connections. So Connections, a guide to support an ACA recovery, is a new WSO produced literature project. Received approval to add, you know, BIPOC people or people of the global majority. For the first time in any 12-step fellowship, literature personal shares will racially identify and share about the impact of racism on their dysfunctional behavior and the journey of their healing. The group co-sponsored a ballot proposal to create a committee whose mission is to identify and examine current policies and practices that perpetuate discrimination or bias within ACA and the WSO. And the Racial Trauma Service Group delegate members I'm presenting it right now. Next, project ideas in development, next steps. Actually, some of these are already happening. The RTSG page, the Racial Trauma Service Group page, has been created on the ACAWSO.org website, where meeting minutes will be posted in the future. We have planned a couple of town hall style events, and I believe the information for that will be added to the chat, to introduce the Racial Trauma Service Group and talk about upcoming projects. And we'll hold those at different times to include, you know, to be accessible to the fellowship worldwide. Those are coming up pretty soon in the next few weeks. Working on developing a trifold, internalized racism is an inside issue. How do we talk about racism within the context of family dysfunction and, you know, more specifically like systemic racism and the kind of the transgenerational and transhistorical trauma of it and shaping. We'll be working on developing racial trauma 4-step inventories to add to the yellow 12-step workbook. And we'll be planning to meet with the executive committee to discuss the projects that are being worked on. So that is the report. I'm just checking my notes, and Alaska said we had a couple things. No, that's it. Alaska, is there anything that you'd like to add?
No. So the town hall information was just posted into the chat for everybody. I need to get it up on the events calendar. I haven't done that yet, but it's going to be on November 11th, and we're having two sessions. It's the same session. We're just having it so that different parts of the planet can attend. So I hope that that people do attend. And I just wanted to say thank you to the literature committee for allowing us to get some shares into the connections document, which is going to be coming out very soon for fellowship review. And just what an enormous accomplishment it is to have people actually identifying racially in their shares in a 12-step program. Never before has been done. So ACA is really really breaking new ground, and I'm just extremely grateful. And it's pretty exciting, and I'm really, really happy about that. So we can do a Q&A for the rest of our time, 7 minutes, if anybody has any questions. Julianne, hello.
Hi, Alaska. This is not a question directly for you, and I don't know where else to put this. I think this is incredible. Is the literature committee taking as much consideration with other groups, such as those with religious trauma? Don't know where else to ask that question. Thank you.
I do know that that the spiritual inclusion is a big part of, for instance, literature evaluation, making sure that all new literature is inclusive. But as far as what, you know, recognizing other groups in particular, I don't know. Okay. So I don't know the order of the hands.
Kelly is next.
Kelly's next?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, just quickly, so you guys are operating under the literature committee, yet one of your, the first star point, I'm just curious about this, says, I mean, you're calling yourselves racial trauma service group. I love the idea, but it says to differentiate this service group from a committee. So I'm just not clear on, are you guys a subcommittee of literature? Because I don't, to call you a service group, but then to differentiate it from a committee, I suppose you answer
yeah.
the literature? Yeah, how does that, that's confusing to me. Thank you.
No, we're not a subcommittee. We're a service group, and we are under literature so that we could be within the WSO. And we are reporting to the literature committee, I guess on a monthly basis, but we're also reporting to the delegate at the quarterly business meetings and at the ABC. The primary reason for my understanding is the primary reason why we went to be part of the literature committee was so that we could have access to WSO services like the Google, having a Google Drive and an email address. But that's kind of it. Yeah.
Next question. Okay.
Could you call on the next person? I don't know who the next person is.
Aaron's next.
Thank you. Welcome, Aaron.
Hi, Alaska. Hi, Willie. Thank you very much for the work. Thank you very much for the work. It's very dear to my heart. So my questions that I was hoping you could say some more about were, if I understand correctly, that there's four or five members in the group, that it's a closed group, which it appeared to me that it closed very early in the process. I know that we have a lack of volunteers just about every place, so understand that part. But could you say more about if there's five members, it's a closed group, how well does that speak to global racism, not just racism here? Could you speak to that?
Okay, so it's not closed, I mean, to any, you know, we do need more members. It's just that we have not yet had the opportunity to really open it up and to be able to go through the process of, is this the right fit? And we're still working through some of that. I don't know if Willie has something to say as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'd offer too. I think part of it has to do with stage of development. Just, you know, here at the beginning, just to get things moving, kept it small to clarify what the specific aims and scope would be. And so keeping it down to a few voices for then before expanding it so that we can elaborate and expand from there, because it can very easily be like all of it, like so broad. So keeping it narrow for this stage of development, and then we will be expanding as we actually just talked about that. That's kind of the next agenda item as we start moving into, you know, things like developing the trifold and other pieces of literature.
Thank you very much.
To keep it from sprawling and getting too unruly, it's been small so far.
And I'm going to call on Mitch P. He has not spoken, I believe, yet. And at this conference, and we have about 1 minute left in this section.
Thank you so much. Thank you both for your service. I was wondering if in the committee breakout rooms, if everyone is welcome to attend y'all's committee meeting. And that was my only question. Thank you.
We didn't plan on having a breakout room. I only found out about those yesterday. and so we're not going to be having a breakout room, but please come to the town hall, one of the town halls, I'm happy to talk to people there. I guess maybe one more.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi guys. Question. One thing I heard, Willie, in the what you put about a lot of this comes down to power distortions, and I love that framing. And I guess I'm feeling like they're in looking at some of the safety materials that have been developed so far, which the racial trauma group, as far as I understand, has not had input on or reviewed. There are certain kinds of safety issues that I'm not sure are quite addressed in existing material, such as tone policing or like positive disruption and what that looks like. And I really feel like some of the racial trauma work really is on the forefront of dealing with those kinds of things. So I guess I'm curious about the role of the racial trauma group in potentially advising on or providing input on existing or new safety materials. Thanks.
I'm curious about that as well. I'm hopeful that we will be involved with it, but so far not yet. Thanks.
Okay, we're out of time, so.
All right. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Willie and Alaska, and everybody who participated there in that discussion. And now we'll have a report from the Ballot Prep Committee, and I believe that will be given by Mary Jo, who's a member of that committee.
Actually, it's going to be given by Karen. She has her hand raised.
All right, by Karen.
Hi, everyone. Good morning. My name is Karen. I'm a gratefully recovering adult child. May I request permission to share my screen?
You got it, Karen.
Thank you so much. I was elected to deliver this report by my committee on Thursday. I submitted my report on Thursday evening. And unfortunately, it hasn't made it to the agenda. So I'm sure we'll find a way of sharing this information with delegates after the meeting. I'm already in conversation with Sue about that. And I'm going to request a 1 minute warning at the end of like 4 minutes, minute before my 5 minutes for delivering the report is up so that we have time for questions and answers. I want to start, if this cooperates. Okay, by sharing the Ballot Prep Committee statement of purpose. The Ballot Prep Committee oversees the proposal process, educating the fellowship, calling for and developing proposals, encouraging translations, compiling a ballot, encouraging the vote, and tallying and announcing the results. Now you may ask, what is the proposal process? I personally see it as an instrument for adding issues to the agenda of the annual business conference. And every ACA meeting has the opportunity to submit a proposal they think will benefit the ACA fellowship as a whole. You can think of the annual business conference as the business meeting for the whole fellowship. So if your home group has a monthly business meeting, this is the annual business meeting for the entire fellowship. And as in your home group, not everybody may choose to participate in a business meeting. The same goes for the fellowship. Not every group may choose to send a delegate to the annual business conference. That is a choice each group gets to make autonomously. And each group gets to decide whether they want to participate in the ballot process, the proposal process as well. We do know that ballot voting incurs more participation than actually showing up at the ABC. So the proposal process is currently our best way of knowing whether a particular business item is of interest to the fellowship and worthy of adding to the agenda for the ABC. What is the outcome of the proposal process? The proposal process culminates in ballot voting by member meetings in the first quarter of the coming year. All proposals submitted are compiled in the ballot, and all member meetings are invited to participate in voting. Groups are asked to vote on each proposal on the ballot individually. This vote reflects the interest in seeing this item added to the agenda for the upcoming ABC. A group may disagree with a particular proposal and yet vote to add it to the agenda to express their disagreement to the fellowship. And then at the end of ballot voting, all proposals receiving an affirmative vote of 66.7% or more will be added to the agenda for the upcoming ABC. I have copied the timeline for the proposal process out of the OPPM just to give you an overview over the many steps that are entailed in the proposal process as it currently exists. There have been modifications to that timeline made this year as an exception only this year because we were a little behind kicking off the process. So we are currently, you see the highlighted phase, we are currently in the review phase. The ballot prep committee has received 19 proposals in first drafts, and final drafts of submitted proposals are due next Friday, November 10th. So I hope all the groups are working on their final drafts for the proposals that they want to see added to the ballot. And my last slide has the information for questions, where to find more information, page numbers in the OPPM, and a reference to a Comline blog post that was recently published by the Ballot Prep Committee. It's called Transformations. The link is there. And you can send us an email to bpc@adultchildren.org. And that concludes my report. And I would open up the floor for questions. Josh.
Hi. Question about the 67%, the threshold for groups voting for things to actually get on the ballot, the proposals to get on the ballot. I know that that has shifted over the past couple of years. I think it was originally 67, and then it went down to 60, and then it went back to 67. And that was done, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, at the discretion of the ballot prep committee, potentially with the approval of the board, I don't know. I guess, just speaking for myself, I feel like that would be more appropriately determined by the conference itself. And I'm curious about any thoughts on that, or like how that might be moved forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Josh. That's a great question. I'm going to refer again to the pages in the OPPM that I had identified in my slideshow. That is where these things are specified, and the OPPM is changed by board motion. So I believe you are correct that at one point the number was changed from 67% to 60%, and then it was changed back, I believe, just in the past year from 60% to 67%. I was personally, I've been in the ballot prep committee for the last 3 to 4 months. I was personally not involved in that decision making, so I will refer to any member of the committee who has anything to add.
Yes. Go ahead, Mary Jo. It's Supi. Mary Jo would be the best person to answer that question.
Actually, I'm going to defer to Jim, who's got his hand up because he's chair of the committee.
Okay. Thanks, Jim.
Hi, can I be heard? Yeah. When I started with the committee, it was two-thirds, so 66.7%. We tend to be a little reactive. So when an ABC came along and no proposals had made it, or there were very few, we thought, let's drop the number to 60, so we'll have some something to put on the agenda. And then we had a lot of proposals, so it's like, okay, let's raise it back up. So it was a strange way to try and ensure that something was on the agenda, but not too much was on the agenda. That's all it was. Thanks.
Thank you, Jim. And I see a hand up from Barbara.
Yes, just could you give the date of the deadline for submitting the proposals again?
If your group has already submitted a proposal, which would have been due on October 20th, then you have a chance to submit a final draft by November 10th.
Okay, so October 20th. Okay, great. Thank you.
Thanks, Barbara. Alaska.
All right. If we submitted a proposal by the 20th, would we have heard something back? Should we have heard something back from the ballot proposal or yes, are we
there
just
were
supposed
confirmation emails sent. You should have received a confirmation email. Did you receive one?
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think so. But we wouldn't receive another one saying to turn in a final draft. I mean, how would I know what the final draft should be as compared to what I turned in if there wasn't any commentary or something like that?
I see Mary Jo wants to comment on that, so I'll turn it over to her.
And I was going to defer to Jim, but actually, we were running a little late this year, and that November 10th deadline may be pushed back. So you will still hear, you did get a confirmation, but you'll also still hear from the group, from the ballot prep group, about rewarding your proposal if we think that it might be a recommendation.
Okay. All right. So if we hear from the ballot prep, we will have time to be able to make those revisions. Yes. Okay. Thank you.
And let me just add, I believe any updates to the timeline are to be posted on the ballot prep committee website as well. So please go ahead and proactively refer to that. Those updates were not up as of this morning, but my understanding from our last committee meeting is that they are to be posted. So please keep an eye on the website. Thank you, Alaska. Julianne.
Thank you, Karen. Will WSO be providing commentary this year on ballot proposals? And if so, will there be collaboration between WSO and the proposing groups?
There is going to be WSO analysis as part of the process. Let me see if I can share that.
I suggest calling on Sue.
And that's 4 minutes left in this segment.
Thank you, Marcus. I will turn over the question to Sue.
Okay, just a couple things. Backtrack, how do I know I have till November 10th? It's in the guidelines, the BPC guidelines that were posted, and I believe it went out to everyone. So that's just something. But if you have a proposal in hand, don't worry. You'll be hearing from the ballot proposal committee. They're doing it. WSO analysis, yes, we will be doing it. And we are working with the BPC committee as to how to get the analysis started for all of these different proposals. I think I answered the question. If I missed something, Julianne, let me know. And I know Jim might have something to add because he's next in the line.
I was just wondering if there was going to be collaboration between WSO, BPC, and the proposing groups.
Yeah, that we follow the BPC practice and OPPM says. So for sure, there's collaboration when it's merited. Sometimes they're so simple, it just needs like a committee analysis type of thing. So yeah, there is definitely collaboration. With that, I'll pass over to Jim.
Thank you, Sue.
Hi, Jim here. Well, on that point, there's never really been a collaboration where the WSO has always offered an analysis of what is being suggested in the proposal, the issue that's brought forward. And it's never been collaborated with the submitting group. It's they raise an issue and then there's a response. We have collaborated between the ballot prep committee and the World Service Organization, the board, in fashioning that response. But also, I just wanted to assure everyone that you know, we're not trying to create barriers in this process. We're not trying to throw up roadblocks or hurdles. And you know, we're doing the best we can to ensure that everyone has a voice, every group has an opportunity, and yeah, we're trying to encourage participation underneath it all. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Sue, I see your hand is up. Do you have something to add
Yeah, just a point of information, because the ballot prep document was not uploaded in time at the meeting on the agenda. So it's happening, and I've asked our tech team to post, and they actually just did. They posted it in the chat, so you'll all have access to Karen's document. I just wanted you to know that, Karen. Thanks.
Thank you for your help with that. I really appreciate it. And I would like to hear from Pam as well. I hope we have time for that.
Yeah, hi. I'm a longtime person in this program, and when the board analysis first was begun, it was for the purpose of saying we're already working on that, or that proposal was passed last year or 2 years ago or whatnot. And from that time, I'm not talking about this board, I'm talking about through the years, somehow there's been statements included that the board does not agree with the proposal. And the effect seems to be that when that statement is made, the proposal just point blank does not pass. So I'm wondering if anybody wants to explain or speak to that issue, because, you know, basically the board.
I'm fine.
Okay, thank you.
Can we get an answer to Pam's question from one of the more experienced committee members? So you have your hand up.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment. The board has been discussing the WSO. This board has been discussing the WSO analysis and the criteria for our assessments. And really, our job is to look at what's being proposed. And as Pam said, is it already being worked on? Or is there an impact there that would not be reasonably known? So we'll be providing the facts so that the meeting groups can make informed decisions when they're voting, which is really important. And so I think that's all the time we have, but we could go on about that. But it's going to be very, we're working on it right now to ensure that you've got all the facts in front of you to make the right decisions as per the fellowship, as per the conference. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Sue, and thank you, everyone, for letting me be of service.
Yes, thank you, Karen. And our last section before the closing in the committee interest breakout rooms is a volunteer service discussion with a presentation by Jim R., who's co-chair of the Volunteer Resources Committee. So, Jim, it's... your section.
Hi, this is Jim again. And yes, with Laura L., the two of us are involved with the, we sort of founded the Volunteer Resource Committee a little over a year and a half ago. There's the page, our webpage is mentioned in the chat. We are tasked with trying to inspire people to volunteer at WSO. And we've done this in a number of ways. We have some programming that we've begun. And so one important thing was a place for feedback and discussion and fellowship. We believe that it's important to have people know one another and hear one another outside of a committee setting, because committees are there to do business. And so we instituted a program called 24/7, Service Wellness 24/7. And on the 24th and on the 7th of each month at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern, we have an opportunity for people to come and just talk about their service experiences and to gain support from their fellow volunteers. Additionally, we have started recently a meeting very similar that's around the time of the teleconference, the monthly teleconference. So if there is a teleconference planned, we meet before. If there isn't a teleconference, well, the timing's going to change a little bit, or we're looking at that. But basically, again, it's an opportunity for delegates primarily, but anyone in service can come and, again, talk about volunteer opportunities. That might be more of a meet a committee member and discuss that. And we have a year ago today, we had a volunteer day, which was really well received. It was a 3-hour program that introduced people to existing volunteers and highlighted a couple of committees and to learn about what they do. And also we had a film, a video of the facility at out in California where the books are processed in Signal Hill. So it was a really great program. We're going to be repeating something like that, a distilled version. Instead of 3 hours, it would be a 90-minute program, likely to start in the new year. Also in the new year, we're creating a field trip program where we will bring people as a group to committees to sit in the back row, maybe with a snack or a drink, and just take in what the committee's doing. And then we would have a discussion opportunity afterward so that people can talk about a particular committee. So you get, you know, we can go as a group. It's a little less intimidating than just saying, yeah, go to the committee. You know, we would be going, we might discuss something beforehand and then go take it in and then discuss. So those are the programs that we're working on now. And volunteering is really helpful for the organization. And you heard in literature in particular, there's room for more people to get involved and move through the process from, you know, just joining for the first time to sort of steering what the committee does. If Laura's here and would like to add to that, that would be nice. And if not, we could take questions and start the discussion.
Yeah, Laura, I don't have anything else to add, Jim. You did a great job. Hi, Laura here.
Let's see. Do we see hands? I see Marty. Welcome.
Hi,
can I just say before you start, Laura, I'm sort of in transit for a minute or two. Can you feel this? And I'll be back with you in a moment. Thanks. Marty?
I just wanted to say that I have attended one of those and they were absolutely wonderful. But I wonder how we can do some outreach, communications for people to attend that. I don't know. I can't remember what your numbers are, Jim, on the attendees, but I felt personally that it could use some support for people to attend those, because I think that they're really valuable. But I just think they were too lowly attended, and that's all I have.
Thank you, Marty, for that comment. We are open to suggestions on any outreach. Definitely. Having been a member of Global, I do post to the WhatsApp on Global as well as regional outreach too. But intergroups can make the announcements and regions can as well. And it's also intended, at least the service wellness and any meeting, well, anything we do could be adapted for use by a region or an intergroup to use the same concept if that helps and serves them, you know, to attract volunteers to that service body as well. Kelly, I see your hand up.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I've heard a couple of times a reference to WhatsApp groups. How would one
yes
find out about that, because I'm in service a lot and mm-hmm. I don't see any open invitations to that. How would one get on that? Thank you.
I think it would just have to be a member or the chair, whoever's signing up for that service commitment, to help link you to that. But you can direct message me on Slack if you'd like access to one that I host. Thanks. If that's enough of a description, WhatsApp is another template like Slack is, where it allows you to text one another. That is a form that we use here, and there could be other forms, other templates, other platforms used in other areas of the world. Next, Josh.
Hi,
Josh.
How you doing? So I'm looking at the committee page right now. It says purpose is one, provide guidance and support for volunteers of WSO, such as developing welcoming educational materials, healthy communication leadership workshops. Two, be a resource for WSO committees with volunteer needs. And three, promote emotional sobriety and healthy functioning in WSO committees. Based on that and things I've heard before, I kind of got the impression that VRC might be a place to go if I were in a committee and had concerns mm-hmm. about how things were going in that committee. I might mm-hmm. be able to go to VRC to sort of register a concern or ask for input. Mm-hmm. One, I'm wondering if that's the case or that's a misimpression. But I think somewhere it's important to know where to go with those kinds of concerns. And two, I guess I'm wondering if, based on what the committee has heard so far, if there's, without getting into any specifics, if there are any sort of areas for, you know, that might be recommended by the committee for the board to look at to promote safety and things like that. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Josh, for your question. I think what the resources committee has been doing so far, the volunteer resource, has been trying to work on an orientation document. And we've been in a, what I would call a committee infancy, where we're meeting together, gathering our purpose. And that was maybe, you know, one of the multiple layers or the ones that we'll hopefully grow to and inspire towards. But right now we've been focusing on like the 5-page document, the volunteer orientation document, which we are just finishing now, and hoping to get comment on so that could be a help at least, and then getting a more lengthy document and then hopefully grow to that. Yes, would be my response on that. Okay, I'm not seeing any other. I see one more hand now from point of point of information. Okay, Sue. Yes.
Yeah, you guys are doing wonderful work. Thank you so much. I would ask, have we sent out that volunteer flyer in, you know, the information that you have to our meeting groups? That might be something that we consider. Okay. That everybody has is awareness of it. So we can take that offline, but I was just looking at an awareness piece and I wondered if you had thought.
No, I haven't, but that's a great idea. Okay, good. Okay. Thanks for that suggestion. Ruby G from Los Angeles, I see your hand up.
Hi, Ruby here, adult child. This is sort of like a question, but it's more of a statement. Have you considered maybe a reevaluation of your linguistic outreach in an attempt to entice more participation? Personally, I find the usage of the word volunteer and using qualifications as like off-putting, especially to the newcomer. I am not a newcomer, but if I were a newcomer, I would find that off-putting. So maybe just look over you know, the outreach, and perhaps consider changing language to incentivize a participation.
Thank you very much, Ruby. At the service conference, we did get a little feedback from a member in the Asian community, in the continent, about a word. And yes, we do get some feedback from time to time, and I totally adapt it when I find a word and we discuss it. And I'd welcome more comments on that, absolutely. But thanks to that comment, we can also try to engage with other, you know, people for more feedback. Absolutely. Like to be an attraction if possible. Oh, I see Jim's hand up now.
Hi, Laura. And thank you. Thank you for being here. And I just wanted to say that these are new initiatives that we've kind of come up with. And it's, you know, when we started, I think the board, someone made the decision to keep the committee kind of closed. I think that might be we heard about that in another group where, you know, just to get their footing. And I feel like we have our footing, and it would be nice to have more membership of people that would like to join Laura and myself in implementing some of these programs, because there is a lot of, like, the last question was about outreach as to, like, and basic information, like, when is this happening? And we've put things on Slack. We have a web page which tells a lot of information, but it's hard when you're doing a lot of different things. So I would just say that it might be time for people to join the Volunteer Resource Committee and help us with our mission. Because, you know, it's sort of funny too, you know, there's numbers have value, you know, in terms of participation. But at the same time, at our meetings, we've had smaller groups, and they've been really very worthwhile. And so we might be reaching people in the ones and twos, but I think it's making an impact. And so, I like how it's growing. We're going to give ourselves time to get programs going. Thank you. Miles, take exit
3A for Huntington. Thanks. Okay. And I did get some comments as to reaching out to regions and intergroups. And I also chair the regions subcommittee. We also recently took on intergroups to encourage them and envelop them. And so now when we answer emails for regions or intergroups, and there are a lot of emails that intergroups get, I have started including information on the Volunteer Resource Committee in the email, and like links to those pages so that more people can have that information and come. And let's hear from Kelly. You'd already spoken, so I'm going to call on Corbet first and then Kelly. Okay, Corbet, hey there.
Hi. Good morning. I'm Corbet from the Northern California Intergroup. Thank you, everyone, for all your service. It's amazing. And I just wanted to throw out that I am not as technologically advanced, and so Slack was a little overwhelming, and maybe the other ones. And so also backtracking, unfortunately, there's only about 10% that typically attend meetings, business meetings, or I think volunteer. And so our numbers might always be low, which is a little sad, but a suggestion might be, I have found it hard to find how to get to the volunteer positions. And if there was a one-page document that listed, this is what, you know, the volunteer position and the date and Zoom information, it might be, if there was a one-page document of all the opportunities that could be easily accessible, might help get volunteers. But I don't know. It's a tough question. Thank you, though.
Thank you. I do have, we do have that. It's called a synopsis of WSO committees. But I can't post it right now because I was restricted, but we'll try to get that up there. And it's on the volunteer resource page. I think that was posted earlier in the chat, so you can get it. It's on the left-hand side under resources, about half the way down. But it's meant, and it's an intended to give you not only the when the committees meet, but the emails for them, and every committee almost needs like people to type minutes or write reports. But if there's a specialty need like oral history or whatever, that ask would be in the far right column. That was the intention, as well as to give people the short synopsis version of what the purpose statement is for each committee or sub, and including subcommittees as well.
Laura, since that's a tech question, would you mind if I speak to that? There's a new page in development. Yes.
Okay.
So I'll take less than 30 seconds. There's going to be a really nice volunteer page on the new site. It's going to be looking like a family tree, so you can see how everything connects. And there's going to be short statements about what each committee did do. There's going to be hover hotspots where you can click on them that will take you to a page about how to join the committee, what the committee is about. We know the way it's set up now isn't as good. We're working on it as it comes up. We're looking forward to people's feedback on how it's better, because we know how volunteering is important and the tech needs to be easy.
Thank you. All right, thank you. And then Kelly is next, and we have 1.5 minutes left in this section.
Hi guys. So I just, you know, I a couple of thoughts. I know that, you know, that needing certain qualifications and experience to be in service is, I feel like that is a detriment for a lot of people that might want to just come and hang out in a committee to see what it's about before they, mm-hmm. you know, are asked to do something. That's number one. Number two, this is yet another committee that was created when we already are stretched so thin with committee volunteers. So then you add another committee that's got two members, and Jim is chairing it, and he's already chairing at least three committees. It's sort of like, I don't know, like, why don't we try to staff, I use the word staff, the committees that were already existing before we add mm-hmm. new committees, and then add people or try to get people to come do more meetings. So it's like too many committees with too few volunteers, yet we keep creating committees.
Gender guy. Yeah.
1 minute.
Okay, and thanks for your comment. We do have 24/7, the service wellness, which is where you come and hang out, and you can talk about questions or concerns. We do have that. But I hear you on the multitude of committees. Okay, we have 3 seconds left. I was going to call on Pam, but we're at time now. So I think we're going to have a breakout session later. Is that correct? Anyway, you can also email us if you have further comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura and Jim. Thank you, all the delegates that participated in that one. Thank you. Now we're going to go to our closing with Edmundus is going to do the closing on this. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you all. Really, really, really appreciate it. For the closing remarks, I wanted to bring our delegates' attention to the traditional upcoming survey that will be coming out after this QDM. You will receive in your registration emails. Please take time to fill those surveys. We are reading closely those for your input and the rating of the priorities that you have for us, because that is the way to save time and to hear from a lot of them. So you are truly encouraged from my heart, and I hope that I can speak for 30 seconds as a voice of a fellowship in that we really appreciate that your input and are looking forward to that. And I want to thank our volunteers, especially Shangri-La, who it is past 1 a.m. for her, and she did a wonderful service. Apart from other people, IT, others, they're doing one wonderful job. So that's a short time for gratitude, but your service is truly appreciated right there. And because we are a little bit over time, I want to move out to a little of our announcements section. And I will pass it on for a moment to Brad L. and then to Adelina. So Brad L., the floor is yours for 5 minutes.
Hi, thanks everybody. You guys normally know me as Tech Brad, but I also I'm also the chair of the NAME study, and we have a NAME study town hall coming up, and it is really, you know, as a lot of you people know, there was a survey where we had just a fantastic response from the fellowship. We had over 7,000 respondents. The town hall information is here. It's going to be on December 2nd. We're doing it twice. It's the same town hall, but you know, you can't get everybody's time zone by doing it once. So it's 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. on December 2nd. That's a Saturday. Who's invited? Everybody's invited. I know not everybody got the chance for us at the last the review of the results of the first survey. We're going to do that briefly there, but really this is a chance for everybody to share their thoughts about the NAME study, and we'll be clear about, you know, why the NAME study is happening, and Clue, it's on the on the side, and it's about inclusion. You're not only going to be able to express your thoughts, but you're going to be able to hear thoughts about from other people in the fellowship about what they think about the name and the logo and so forth. Can ask questions, ideas, join the name study itself. So the link is for the details of the Zoom is at the bottom. It's pretty easy, acawso.org/name-study. That's our homepage. There's going to be another link there that says details about the name study. You click that and you can join. Thanks.
Just a little bit technical question from me.
Sure, go ahead.
Is this an online event? But because in my understanding of English, town hall means some in-person event.
Okay. So yes, this is Zoom, and it's just going to be like this Zoom meeting where it's going to be a large up to 1,000 people can come. You know, but in, you know, people will be able to ask questions, just raise your hands. This is online. It's twice to get everybody. We're not going to be in person, but town hall is being used in terms of town hall style discussion.
Wonderful. Thanks for that clarity, Brad. Thank you. And for your announcement, next we'll go to Adelina. Thank you for your service.
Hello, everyone. Good afternoon, good evening, good morning. My name is Adelina. I'm an adult child who lives in Toronto, originally from Romania. And this year I coordinate organizing the annual World Convention So I would like to give you some information about it. So first of all, show of hands, who have heard, who knows what the annual World Convention is? I would like to see, okay, the information has been communicated and we will continue to share it. And it is the biggest recovery event, AC recovery event of the year. And since the pandemic started, we had the opportunity to make it available around the world live, around the world and around the clock. And this year is no exception. So the event is going to take place on Zoom for 27 hours straight. We have four different organizing teams from Australia, from Asia, from Europe, and from the Americas who are putting this unbelievable event together. We will have two Zoom rooms. One is for workshops and presentations and panels. The other one is a fellowship room where we invite to consider holding an ACA open meeting. And I would like to invite especially people who are whose first language is not English to present information and facilitate a meeting in their own language. We have 10 spots for open ACA meetings, so please apply. I would like to share the screen if I may. Okay. Can I please, Brad, be made a co-host just for 2 minutes? Let me know.
You got it.
Thank you. Okay. So how do you find information about the annual World Convention? Well, go on our main page, adultchildren.org, and there it is, a big and colorful flyer that was not here a few days ago, but now it is. Just click on the flyer, and it will take you to our convention webpage. The theme is connection, and we wanted to really emphasize connection with ourselves, with our inner family members, with each other, with a higher power, connections in our brain. And for registration, this big blue button, register for the event, here you can access the link to register for the Open ACA meeting. We welcome volunteers, especially as Zoom co-host, Zoom tech. We need volunteers to be able to run the 27 hours straight. So please, if you can help, let us know. We have an inner child dance party. You can request a song to be played that you love to dance on, your inner child loves to dance on, or you love to dance on when you are a child. And then we also have a talent show. So please, if you would like to be part of the talent show, send an application through the red button and click to see the schedule. Okay, we're clicking to see the schedule and it takes us to the schedule page. Here there are little arrows that take us lower in the page and higher in the page, and you can also download the schedule. So I would like to let everybody know, if you remember the literature presentation on the upcoming book on connection about sponsorship and fellow traveler in ACA, the team together with Christine B will have two presentations at different time zones where people from around the world can ask questions and be able to connect with the authors of the book. And so I will be in a breakout room. If you'd like more information, please join me and I will be more than happy to give you more information. I'll put something in the chat too. Thank you.
Thank you. Before moving on, I want to give like five minutes now to maybe hear the delegate questions that were postponed from other sections. if you have any of those, and yeah, like we can have a 5 minutes for that now, and then we move on to next QDM, the date for next QDM, and then move out to the breakout room. So anybody who wants to express any final remarks, questions, or anything, it is time to do now. Alisa, welcome. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. Thank you very much for what you are doing. It's impressive, and I understand what a large amount of work is behind it. So appreciate everything you do. And as I understand, a lot of work is done by the board. And my, well, confusing is about this, like, explaining, I mean, ACA explaining in creating these rules for make Slack more safe. Because we, in Russian-speaking service committee, we have met across some unsafe behavior, and we didn't know how to act, being ACA, so not just your band, sorry, go away, please, because we feel uncomfortable with you. No, we can do that. So I don't know how to make it like in ACA spirit like that. So maybe if there is some details, I would like to know them to use actually this explanation in my service in Russian speaking service committee as well. Thank you very much.
Maybe some of the people from this safety group, Adelina or Rich, could comment on that. Sue?
Yeah, we have a safety resources committee, and Rich is on the call, and he's a co-chair. So can you talk about that for a few moments and the safety documents that have been developed with the health and safety and service advisory? They've been posted. So I think I'll defer to Rich being the co-chair of Safety Resources Committee. And maybe we can post that link, tech folks, post the Safety Resources Committee link in the chat. Rich?
Yeah, thanks, Sue. I guess my camera is half working. I'm going to shut it off. Hi, Alisa. So, your question, there's long responses to your question, and I'd certainly be willing to talk later about some of those issues. We have come out with the safety service. Let me restart this. The service norms document, and was just previously stated in this group, it's been approved by the board, and it should be released for fellowship review shortly. But there's several things in there that might help clarify some of the questions. You know, I guess a short version is, you're right, we tend to not kick people out of ACA. We're a program of inclusion, not exclusion. But that doesn't mean that we put up with abusive behaviors. So we are inclusive. We don't tend to kick people out. That's not the first place we go to, but we can learn to set up boundaries around some of these dysfunctional behaviors. So I guess that's the short version, and I'm certainly willing to talk to you later and go into more of a long version. Pass.
Thank you. I want to give voice to Sam B, who was not heard at this conference yet, haven't spoken. I mean, and then we will close with that and move to breakout rooms. You can discuss and express your opinions there. So Sam, welcome, and it's time for your voice.
Thank you.
I've been searching the ACE. I'm a new delegate from an online group, and it's my first time at a World Service meeting, so I'm learning a tremendous amount here. I want to thank everybody for their service. It's just a tremendous, awesome learning opportunity for me. But I do have one question I couldn't find on any of the websites. Are there intergroups and regions for online only meetings? I couldn't find an answer to that. Is there anybody who could address that issue or point me in the right direction?
Mayor Joe?
We do have at least one intergroup that is not attached geographically. And if you write to meetings, plural, meetings at acawso.org, we can help you. The meeting list people can help you there.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Appreciate that.
Okay, I want to respect time, and I want to really appreciate the first time delegates. If there are any more of them, please raise your hand. We want to acknowledge you. So I see Katrina, Alisa. Wonderful to see you around and to represent the Fellowship Voices. We welcome you to be coming back. And with that, I suggest us to move to the breakout rooms now, where our discussion and getting familiar with each other would continue. So we will have two sessions each. Each one 20 minutes so that delegates or volunteers or whoever can move in or move out of the breakout rooms and visit multiple, two of those if they are interested. So.
Serenity prayer first.
Oh, so, very sorry about that. yes. So,
Nanda Fitzu, did I hear the date for the next February QDM? Did we state that here?
Yes, these are just two questions that I caught up with a little bit of anxiety. I apologize as a human being. ACAs are, and I'm human myself, as you can see from my face, I hope. The next QDM is the 3rd of February, and everybody would be welcome to join that. I wanted to say that, especially after the recognition of the first-time delegates, but everyone is invited, and we value your voice, especially here and through surveys as well. So February 3rd, 2024, not 2025. So, and then, yeah, a time for a serenity prayer. Can I have, yes. Anybody willing to volunteer to say a serenity prayer in whichever language they prefer? Please raise your hand. I see Julianne. Thank you, Julianne. Please go ahead. You're muted. Yes.
There we go. I'm unmuted now.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to take a deep breath. Today, I seek the serenity to accept the people I cannot change, the courage to change the one I can, and the wisdom to know.
That one is me. Okay,
Thank you, everyone, and those who are willing. Let's move on to breakout rooms now.
Just.